Hello and welcome to the Be Unapologetically You radio podcast, where we talk about all things personal development, health and wellness, and of course, fitness, and how you can do all those things to create a lifestyle that works for you and not your next door neighbor. Because nobody else was made like you, and so why would you do the same thing as somebody else unless it works for you? So thank you so much for joining us today, and let's get started into the episode.
The podcast today. Today I'm so excited to introduce you to Melissa Douglas. Melissa and I met on a Chris Harder webinar, and I wanted to bring Mel to you because she is a financial expert, and her husband Shane work together to provide a understandable way to achieve your financial goals. So let me tell you a little bit about Mel. Melissa helps other women and couples overcome financial stress and debt using simple concepts. Currently, they're hosting free webinars and concepts on their website, shaneandmelissa.com/webinar. It'll be linked in the bio for you. The ideas she shares are to help you take your money mindset to the next level. When she isn't building business relationships and helping clients, you can find her traveling, spending time with her dog, Levi the Wolf, on a hashtag. It'll be linked down there for you. Or at a local coffee shop. She's currently working on launching the Shane and Melissa Show in early June 2020. I'm so stoked for this. And expanding her tribe in a constructive way. Make sure you go find her on Instagram and connect with her. I'm so excited for you guys to meet Mel and up your money game. So let's get started.
Hi, Mel. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you today.
I am excited to be here. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I would love for you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, Kelsey, first and foremost, I appreciate you having me on, and I'm so excited to come and chat with your audience and share with them all about me. So my name is Mel, short for Melissa, not short for Melanie, Melody. I hear all the things. But about me, I live in Michigan. Right now it is May and snowing. So that's incredible. I know a lot of your listeners probably are where you live in Texas or all over the states. And my husband and I, we run a business together helping women and couples with money, whether this is finally getting around to looking at their finances, figuring out how to become debt-free, overcoming spending more than they make every single month. And we've been doing this for 4 years now and totally love it.
So tell me, how did you get to what y'all are doing now? Because a lot of people either didn't start that way, they never imagined working with a spouse. How did you get to working together and doing what you do?
Yeah, so actually we became business partners in a different business endeavor about a year after we got married, and we ran a leather goods business. So we started a business, ground up everything. We did all the branding, and it was a lot of fun. It was more of a passion project, but we did turn it into a legit business and generated some revenue. But a few ways that we got led to what we do now, we actually wanted to become better with our finances. We wanted to save money for retirement. We wanted to make the right financial decisions. But Kelsey, we had no idea who to talk to. And we did our own research online and were confused. Like, do we buy individual stocks online? Like, what do we do? So we were referred to someone, and you wouldn't believe it, but they told us they wouldn't work with us because we didn't have $250,000. And in that moment, we felt like a little piece of dirt. And recognize, oh wow, like we want to become wealthy. We want to have $1 million. We want these things, but how do we get there? And neither of us really came from families that really had huge financial success, at least yet. Shane's dad's a business owner and does really, really well now. But Shane grew up as a missionary kid, and I grew up in a separated household. My parents were separated since I was pretty young, and both incredible people, but didn't necessarily have financial success to share with us. So how exactly we came to what we do today is we became clients. Somebody came to our house, Kelsey. They called us. They came over on a Saturday morning and shared with us some really simple financial concepts specifically about life insurance and how to retire and different everyday money things that you would think most people know. Now that I'm in this industry, I'm like, people should know this, but they don't. And I went to sleep that night thinking, wow, the weight that's been lifted off my shoulders from this 1 hour conversation will forever change my life. And in that moment, we decided this is something we could do. This is a business that we could be a part of.
Wow. That's amazing how one moment can just change everything. I wanted to ask, because you were talking about the simple concepts. I bet there's a lot of myths that have around money that actually lead into those concepts. Would you be willing to share maybe a few myths or maybe some of those concepts that you feel people should take time to learn?
Yeah, that's a great question. So many people have interesting mindsets around money. And I don't want to say they're bad mindsets. I don't want to name them as a certain type of mindset, but it's important that as we dive into anything that we're maybe unfamiliar or uncomfortable with, that we identify some common thinking around things. So one common thing that I hear people talk about is it's not worth saving money unless I can save a lot of it. And we talk to people about, even if you can only save 10 to 15% of your income, you'll be so thankful you did in the future. And another thing is, I'm young, I don't need to save money, but starting early is key, because the longer you can save your money, the more it's going to work for you. And another thing that we hear people talk about is debt. Debt is really quite confusing, and people think they should be paying the minimum or just a little bit more on all of their debts. And we could get into that in later on in this conversation. But paying off debt is important, and it is important that we understand the best way to pay off debt.
Gotcha. So I know a lot of people struggle with saving. We did for a long time, and something that we found that helped us is, even if it was just like $100 per paycheck, we automated it to go into our savings before we had time to see it or have to remember to do that and make a plan for it. And that seemed to be helpful for us. Is that something that you recommend for people, is to have that somehow automated if humanly possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's deducted from your paychecks or you just automatically every other Friday, you know, you get paid. Well, you can put it on your checking account saying every second Friday of the month and every fourth Friday of the month, move $400 from this account to that account. And until we can create habits, we have to force ourselves into the habits. So when you think about going to the gym, some people at this point, it's such a routine for them, they don't really think about going to the gym. For other people, they would rather have a tooth pulled than go to the gym. And it's the exact same thing with saving money. At some point, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to put $400 into this account every 2 weeks. And then other people, they don't even think about it. So you're exactly right, Kelsey. It starts with kind of forcing yourself to do it, even if it's just a little bit.
Definitely. Because I think it's a lot like a lot of other things. You have to prepare your mindset for that too, because if you're used to being like, I have this much into my account every time, you have to learn how to live within a new means almost. Why you have a budget, so that way you know what those means are, so you can account for those goals or whatever the case may be.
And to that point, what we see with a lot of clients, it's a little disappointing, but there's too much month at the end of the money. And that is why society has credit cards and credit card debt, because when we sit with people, we look at how much comes in and how much goes out. And we're seeing one of two things. One is people are spending too much money. And you're right, they need to adjust, and people should create a budget. Or we see this, people don't make enough money. So whenever we come across one of those two, it's really important that we address it, because there are countless ways to earn income nowadays, whether it's picking up overtime, or if you're a nurse, maybe you pick up an extra shift. If there's side hustles, there's so many ways to earn extra money right now. So those are two big things that we really see.
Gotcha. So let's build on to that. Build irony. There's a concept you talked about on your Instagram, and I think it's a great metaphor for financial success. Can you talk about the financial house and kind of talk us through that metaphor a little bit?
Yeah. So a financial house is a great image to think about in your head when you're thinking about building finances. And every single house, it has a foundation. It has the first level. It has, some houses have a second and third level. All houses have a roof. Some houses have a chimney. So when we think about a financial house, the first thing we want to think about is the foundation, which is life insurance. Life insurance protects the rest of the house, the rest of the finances. So the next level in the house is having a budget and an emergency fund. So this is telling your money where to go, right? Having an emergency fund, this is 3 to 6 months of income that you have easy access to that money. The next is debt. So getting out of debt, addressing your debt, how to effectively pay it off. The next level, short-term savings, and then long-term savings. And then the last on the house, the chimney and the roof, that's the goals and dreams, Kelsey. And what we see so often are people want to focus on the goals and dreams, but they don't want to work on the other parts of the house.
So can you elaborate a little bit why those other pieces lead to those goals and dreams, and how, like, why it, you actually need to go through those steps to get to that end goal?
Yeah, I love that question. So, you know, a lot of people were conditioned for instant gratification. We want things now, 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 now. Amazon, right now, things are taking a little bit longer to ship on Amazon. And we're so conditioned to the, I want it now, give it to me in 2 days. And that thinking does not serve us financially. And when you're looking at how to structure something and how to have success in that structure, when you look at life insurance, that's to protect the rest of the house. That is going to put in place, whether it's $500,000, $250,000, it's going to protect the rest of your assets. The next, with the budget, in order for you to have financial success, you want to have extra money that you can save, that you can invest. So you create a budget that serves your savings account. And with the emergency fund, having, up until this point, right, we're in the middle of COVID-19. Up until this point, I think a lot of people didn't really value an emergency fund. And right now, more than ever, people are realizing, wow, having 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund was a serious topic. That was something that wasn't just a suggestion, but totally necessary. And if you don't have an emergency fund, how can you have a long-term savings? Because what's going to happen when you have a financial emergency is you're going to have to pull into that retirement, and you'll be penalized in a variety of different ways. And that's not what you want. That does not set you up for financial success. Does that make sense?
Definitely. It does make sense, because by taking care of those other steps, it actually will allow you to get to those goals faster, because you have the security that you need in order to have, I would say, the guts and the pathway to get to that goal. Am I summarizing that correctly?
Okay, yeah, awesome. That's absolutely right.
And go ahead.
You know, one thing I wanted to touch on was the thinking and the belief, as we talk about long-term savings and retirement, sometimes this is a pie in the sky goal. Like, people hear that and they're like, I'll never retire. I can't become rich. I didn't come from a rich family. And that is one of the biggest myths that exists in the world. Because a lot, you know, people think I wasn't born rich. You think about back to high school and you think about the kid who got the Mustang when he turned 16. You're thinking that person's going to have financial success. Maybe you're like me and you came from a single family household, a mom who worked as much as she could to provide for her family. And you would look at that person and you would think that person's less likely to have financial success. Or the girl who was in dance and she had recitals all year and she was on like a private team and traveled all over. You would think she's more likely to have financial success. But the truth is 77% of millionaires are self-made. It wasn't because they were given something. They didn't come from a special type of household. And there's a quote and it says, "You're only a victim as a child. Once you become an adult, it's all on you." And right now, more than ever, that couldn't be more true. The way we think about money and what we choose to believe about money is on us. We can't blame our future for, or our past for that. We can't blame our upbringing for that. It's 100% on us.
Gotcha. I have a client of mine and her mom worked for Texas A&M for years. And then, so they didn't have a ton of money. But she saved and her mom saved so that way that she could provide for them. But then by having those same habits, she's one of the wealthiest women I know and still saves, even in her retirement, still saves, but she has shown having good, what good habits can do. Because I mean, she goes out to eat 2 or 3 times a week when it's not COVID. She gets to go do the things that she wants and travels just because she implemented those essential financial steps in her life and made the good decisions when it wasn't easy at the same time. So it definitely can be done. You definitely can retire. And I think people don't take time to figure out what that number is. Am I correct in that assumption?
Not only like do they not take, not only Kelsey, do they not take the time, but they don't know who to talk to. They don't know necessarily, how can I figure out what that number is? Is it 1 million? Is it 2 million? Some people say it's just 1 million. And the answer to that is work with a financial professional. Find someone local to you. Find someone online that you get, you like their vibe and you feel like I could relate to this person. Because one, financial success, it's going to definitely be up to you. But having someone that you like working with, you'll have a lot more of an enjoyable time. And money should be fun. It shouldn't be something dreadful. But most people have no idea, how much should I be saving a month? What is my end goal? When do I want to retire?
Gotcha. So speaking on finding a professional, is there something or a place that people can go to or things they should be aware of when trying to find somebody to work with? Because that was one of the most confusing things for me when I first started to look for help financially.
That's a great question. And that was our biggest concern too. So when we work with a lot of new agents in the industry, and the first people that we have them reach out to are friends and family, because people will work with people they know, like, and trust. And as far as how to find somebody, you know what? There's a lot of people out there doing a lot of good things. And there's also people out there who are in the industry that I'm in just to make money. And I think you've got to trust your gut and trust your intuition when you go to work with someone in this industry. Just like when you buy a car from someone, you want to make sure, like, I feel comfortable. Or think about if you have children, who do you want to leave your children with? If you're going on vacation for a week, who would you feel comfortable? You're not just going to go find someone on the internet and leave your kids with them for a week. You want to leave them with maybe a family member that you really trust. Maybe someone that was referred to you and you let your kids spend a little time with them already. And I want you to think about that exact same thing when you're looking for a financial professional, because your entire financial future is dependent on that one thing, is depending on how the decisions you make right now with your finances.
Gotcha. Yeah, I interviewed a few people when I first started investing. I started right out of college. I got a Roth during that time, and I found somebody that was able to explain it to me. And when I would go home and do my research, what he said was true. And regardless of his position, he didn't have, some places require you to be a fiduciary and some don't. If you don't know what a fiduciary is, I'm pretty sure Mel will be happy to explain what that means. But you want to, like she said, if you don't trust them, this is not going to go well regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good point, Kelsey. And you've got to trust the people that you're working with above all else. If you don't feel good in your gut about what they're talking to you about, if you feel like they're just trying to sell you something, friend, I encourage you to find someone that you feel comfortable with. But I will also say making money decisions is sometimes uncomfortable. And you also want to be working with someone that's going to help you take action, because the worst thing that you can do is get advice and then not implement it, because knowledge without application is totally useless and a waste of your time and somebody else's. So while I do say, make sure you feel comfortable, go with your gut, a lot of people's habits have gotten them to exactly where they are in life. So unless they do something uncomfortable, they're not going to progress and move forward. Does that make sense? I'm sure, Kelsey, when you started investing and when you started your journey, it maybe was a little uncomfortable, but you chose to bear through it and do it anyway.
I did. And I actually set up an automatic transfer of just $50 a paycheck. And $50 at that time was a ton of money to me. I think when I first started working in higher ed, I was making in the 20,000 a year. I mean, it was something very low, and that was a lot of money to me at that point. But I knew that if I didn't set that up and at least try to get some money starting to grow, that it would come to bite me. And the reason why that was is I saw what happened to my mom. My mother was incredibly driven and successful and raised a business and got it and sold it. But because she did not diversify her retirement plan, when the person who she sold her business to quit making payments, it destroyed her entire retirement. So I saw what my mother's choices had led to. Now, I would like to caveat that it all worked out like it was supposed to. My mom is completely fine. My family's completely fine. But I did not want to have the same fate because I did not diversify or at least give myself some other opportunities to have other means of money for that point in time in my life.
Yeah, so true. And you're right. You know, when you look at someone who's making $20,000 a year, but they're saving $100 a month, it's really no different than the person who's making $100,000 a year saving $5,000 a month, $6,000 a month. And once you can be responsible with a little, you will be entrusted with more.
I agree with that. I would love for you to talk about some of the ways or paths that people have gotten through, like going through a debt-free journey. My husband and I, this is hilarious in hindsight 2020. My husband and I actually, after 3 years we got married, we actually were debt-free at that time. But because we didn't have any emergency savings, it actually got us back into debt. And so we're still 5 years later, almost out of debt again. So I would love for you to talk about how to become debt-free in some of those paths, so people don't have the same fate that I did.
Yeah, that is such a great question. And it is a journey. I will say that. And, you know, sometimes I see people, they want to throw all their money towards debt, but they have zero savings for an emergency. And then that exact thing happens, an emergency pops up, and right back they are in debt. And that's defeating. It's like, oh my gosh, this is crushing. How did this happen? I just got out of debt. And what I'll say about having a debt-free journey is you've got to have a plan. You want to make sure that you have a plan on how to become debt-free and be patient and diligent with that plan. And as far as having a plan, you might be thinking, what does that mean? How do I have a plan? And there's a lot of different methods, we'll say, out there of becoming debt-free. And one thing that we talk to each and every one of our clients about is a method called debt stacking, or the debt snowball. It's a little debt stacking, debt snowball. They're pretty interchangeable terms. You hear Dave Ramsey talk about the debt snowball a lot. And we have that exact same philosophy when becoming debt free. Now, we have a program that we work with all of our clients on, and we literally enter the data, Kelsey, and it tells us and gives us a written game plan of how that client will become debt free. But for those of you who are listening to this that are like, I don't want to work with someone right now, like, I just want the information, what I would suggest doing is writing down each one of your debts, the interest rate, the minimum payment, and whether it's fixed or revolving. Fixed are payments that, or their debts, like your car, your mortgage. Maybe you have a personal loan and it's a 60-month term. So a fixed is anytime there's like a term length to that debt. And revolving are credit cards, and mostly credit cards. You can Google, though, fixed versus revolving debt. And you'll want to categorize them. And let's say on all your debts, you're paying $800 a month, but your minimum is only $600. So you'll want to bunch all of that extra money together and apply it to one. And once that debt's paid off, you'll take the extra $200 plus whatever that previous minimum payment was and chunk it onto the next debt. And we get clients out of debt, Kelsey, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years sooner using this exact plan.
That's what AJ and I have done. The only thing we have done differently is there was a few debts that were just eating at our soul. So we deviated from that just a little bit, so that way we could get those soul eatings out of the way, which provided us momentum to that. And but we also started with a little bit of a savings. So we put a little bit more savings, but we kind of alternate. What we do is we save to our next goal. So we're working on building our financial runway, which Mel will talk about next. I keep throwing these words and I forget we got to talk about them first. But we build our financial runway to our next goal. Then we pay off the next debt, build the financial runway, and then do that. Because then it gives me a little bit more sense of security. But your path to financial freedom is going to be based on what you're comfortable with, for sure.
And what your goals are, right? It all depends on what someone's goals are, because something that's important to you and AJ, Kelsey, isn't important to someone else. You and AJ, you don't have children yet, right?
Nope, just dogs.
Just dogs, same. No kids, just dogs. We're living the dink life. Have you ever heard of that? The dual income, no kids?
Oh, gotcha.
Anyways.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so funny. Dink, dual income, no kids. It's a thing. It's like a thing if you Google it. But some people, it might be really important to them to save for save for their child's education, or save money for their children that they can gift them when they turn 18. So everyone has a different goal, a different journey. And I think that's what I love so much about what we do. It's some people, we came from a creative business and they almost feel bad for us now that we're working in money and finance. I'm like, no, every single client, we get to create something magical for them that literally transforms their entire life. It's certainly more beneficial than selling somebody a leather bag. Trust me.
Gotcha. And it's about the transformation. I really think as coaches or mentors, as experts, we go into the field to help other people and facilitate those transformations, whether it's in fitness or in money. And I can hear it in your voice how much you enjoy the craft that you work in, for sure. I would love for you to talk about money mindset, because I know that's something that a lot of people struggle with. I know I did, and I had a lot of issues around, but I'd love for you to talk about that a little bit and what are some things people can do to improve that, or things to at least start looking into.
Yeah, money mindset is huge. Right now, mindset in general is being talked about a lot. And anytime I start a conversation with somebody about money, or I start a presentation to an audience, I talk about mindset, because until you can really address that, it is so much harder to take action. Because if we think around money that there's not enough, or I can't become wealthy,
then your actions are not going to lead you to investing money, to saving money. If you have the thought, I can't become rich, or at some point you might just take the $7,000 you have saved and book a trip to Europe, right? So addressing the mindset is huge. And the biggest suggestion I have for every single person that listens to this is reading one book about money every single month. And you might think, what books do I read? Well, I've got a few suggestions. The first suggestion I have is Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Kelsey loves the book.
I love that book. I'm sitting here. I'm like, I can't unmute myself. No, I love that book. My husband and I have read that, and we read it to each other in bed.
That is exactly what Chris and Lori Harder did. I don't know if you got that idea from them, but I did. Totally love it. Yep. And I've listened to the book multiple times, but finally I got the hard copy. And I know right now the digital age is like rising, and it's so easy to listen to books, to listen to audiobooks, but I really suggest actually reading the books. There's something different that happens in your brain when you're reading the words. And when we're talking about money and totally transforming your money mindset, I suggest reading the book. So that's one book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Another one is Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Love that one.
Another one is Think and Grow Rich, a total classic.
Yes.
Another book is The Millionaire Next Door.
Also good. That's eye-opening.
Yes. He's got two books. He's got The Millionaire Next Door, and you know what? I can't think of what the other one is.
He's a good author.
Yeah. Thomas Stanley, right? I didn't put the authors as I was making my list, but and then the last one, this is a new book. It's pretty fun. It talks a lot about like woo-woo mindset, but it is really, it's a really easy read. It's called You Are a Badass at Making Money.
Yes, that's a good one. I had two books that come to mind right now that I have found really helpful is Smart Women Finish Rich by David Bach. And he talks about the financial house that Mel talked about and just puts it another spin. And he gives stories about his clients. The other one is also by David Bach, but I like it. It's called The Latte Factor. And it talks about why in a story format, as like a fictional story, how actually taking care of your money can actually provide you what you want in life. And it just humanizes the mission a little bit more. So definitely read all those books. I will link everything in the description below, because if you've been here for a little while, you all know I'm a book nerd to the moon and back. So those will all be there for you.
I love that. Yeah, I've heard those two books suggested multiple times, and I'm pretty sure they are on my Amazon list right now to buy. But I don't know if anyone else is like me. I have piles of books laying around that I've never gotten around to reading. So I'm like, okay, until I finish this one, and this one, you're not buying any more books, Mel.
It's part of my morning routine now, because I was getting into that way. And so now I read at least 10 minutes every day. And then I have a rule now that it's been a struggle, but I've been making it to where I have no electronics when I go to bed. So no iPhone, no Kindle, no nothing. Sometimes I don't want to sit here and like be in my own thoughts. So I'll read a paperback book or a hard copy in bed. And so I'm making through books a lot faster that way by having that rule.
Yeah, I love it.
Definitely. I would love for you to kind of highlight a few parts in your own story why taking care of your money habits has impacted you in your life, and maybe also why taking care of your money can also help your health, and how that kind of permeates all those areas.
Yeah, that's a great question, and a lot to unpack there. And I will say, every single time in my life when I have created structure and boundaries around it, I have so much more freedom, Kelsey. I recently started a health and fitness program. Well, I don't even want to call it a health and fitness program. It's certainly got nothing to do with working out, but it's around mindset and food and these different things. And it has created so much more freedom around me having structure. So I'm literally like measuring every single thing I eat, but I'm eating the food in freedom instead of in guilt or shame. And that's the exact same thing I hear people say about their money. Once they create a budget, they have so much more freedom in their spending. And that's what we realized. You know, we started budgeting before we became clients in what we do now. And there was nothing more freeing than at the beginning of the month knowing I was going to have a personal allowance of $500 or whatever it was, that I could spend that money on whatever I wanted. If I wanted to buy my best friend a $100 gift, I could do that. If I wanted to go and get my hair done and spend $200, I could do that. And that has been huge, because when we create structure and boundaries around something, it gives us freedom. So I encourage every single person who hears this to ask themselves, like, what areas do I want more freedom in? And then ask yourself, how can I create boundaries and a system in that area of my life so I can experience the freedom?
Definitely. Something I would add to that is, do not judge what you spend your money on based on what other people spend their money on, because what is valuable to you may not be valuable to somebody else. Example, in other people's eyes, AJ and I spend an exorbitant amount of money on groceries, between $500 and $700 a month. But that is something that is important to us. We pick high quality ingredients. No, not everything's organic, but we prefer to have fresh produce and fresh items in our house. And that is something that was important to us. So we actually budget for that every month. And then anything we save every month, we roll into the next month's food budget, because having high quality food to us was very important. So don't feel bad if you're not eating $200 worth of groceries every month and you're spending $700 in fuel, but you guys like to take road trips on weekends and things like that. Find what makes you happy and how you spend your money, because your value should align with where your money is going.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a statement that says, I can tell you what your values are based on where your money goes. And Kelsey, my husband would be so happy if we were only spending $500 a month on groceries. He would be over the moon. And some people, you're right. I know families of four who spend $500 on groceries, and like, hello, there are two of us here. So you're right. And some people, they value a personal trainer and they'll spend $300 a month on that. And that is one thing that we don't do. We don't tell our clients to cut things out. We don't tell them to eat rice and beans for 6 months to become debt-free. We look at how we can transfer what they're currently spending to make more sense for what they really want. But what we find is most people have no idea where their money even goes.
Exactly. That's the clarity that comes from that process will really allow you to gain the momentum and the motivation to make that change. And here's something I want to add as well. Please, I want you to add to this as well, Mel, is that you are going to be unmotivated until you have enough information to make a decision to change. And or you're going to reach a point that you are so pissed off at yourself for putting yourself in that position, you will do anything for that never to happen again.
Yep. Yeah. You know, the pain of change will cause you to, the pain of where you're at or the pain of regret will cause you to change, or the expectation for what's to come will cause you to change. And I don't think there's a downside to either, but recognizing the moment that you have the desire to change, that you take action.
Exactly. Is there anything else or any topics you would like to illuminate for our audience that you feel are important, or something they need to know, or some money advice that you would give to them during this time, maybe, or anything on your heart?
Yeah. Are you saying this time in regards to like COVID-19?
It doesn't have to be in COVID-19. It can just be anything you feel is important.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is be excited about your financial journey. Identify, like, if you feel shame thinking about money or talking about money, ask yourself, why is that? I mentioned the group fitness or the group nutrition program I'm in, and I was having a one-on-one call with the person who's coaching me, and I told her, I said, I feel so much shame around this, and I don't even know why. Like, it's, you know, you just have these areas in your life where you might feel shame or you might feel guilt about something. And until you can really address why, you'll have such a hard time walking in the person you're supposed to be around that. And that's why I love your radio show, your podcast, Kelsey, because you talk about unapologetically being yourself. And I think as soon as you can address that shame and the guilt and like, why haven't I had success in this area in the past? You can then walk into it as your best self and show up as the best person that you could possibly be.
Definitely. And also making sure you're going deep enough to really hit the root cause of why you're there in the first place. I think we stay very shallow. And sometimes there's some times where we just need to get down deep in the ditch and start crying, whatever we need to do to get there.
Yep. And journaling is such a beneficial thing to do around this. Just grab a pen, grab a piece of paper, or if you are the type of person who wants to type it out, grab your computer and type out as fast as you can and don't judge yourself in the process. I remember doing this so many times early on in my like self-development journey, and I would be wailing, like bawling my eyes out on the floor as I would realize some of the things that had negatively impacted my thinking and the person that I had become up until that point. But I'll tell you what, Kelsey, those were some of my most memorable and refreshing days, is when I took the time to invest the emotional effort into doing that.
Definitely. And those are rewards you will reap the rest of your life.
Yeah, they truly are.
Awesome. I would love for you to share with the audience where they can find you, where can they connect with you, where can they get more help, share all the deets.
Yes, I would love to. So right now we are doing webinars once a week, and you can find all of the information on those at shaneandmelissa.com/webinar. And on these webinars, we are going over exactly how to have a budget. Where should your money be going? Why do you have more month at the end of your money? And what we talk more about the financial house, and we answer questions. We have it open for Q&A. People from all over can join the webinars. So shaneandmelissadouglas.com/webinar. They're obviously free. We're just doing them to serve people and to help during this time. And then of course, always on the gram. I'm on Instagram so much. My handle is at Mel Douglas, MELLDOUGLAS.
Awesome. And I will put all of that information in the description for you guys with all the books and some of the other references. I will also link to her Instagram post about the financial house in the description for you. So if you're my visual people, it'll be there for you guys. Are you ready for the last and final question, Miss Mel?
I am ready.
Awesome. Would you please tell the listener how they can be unapologetically themselves?
Yes. Unapologetically being yourself by being your own biggest fan. And you've got to stop waiting for others to be on the bleachers cheering you on. Because the moment that you can become your own biggest cheerleader, you can show up for yourself and become exactly who you want to be so that you can then serve others.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Kelsey. And thank you to all of the listeners and her entire audience. You are all amazing humans.
Awesome. Thank you. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a screenshot of it and tag Mel and I and post it on Instagram or Facebook and let us know what your biggest takeaway was. So that way we can connect with you and help you out as well. Y'all have a great rest of your day, and thank you so much for listening to Be Unapologetically You Radio.
Dudes and dudettes, I hope you really enjoyed that episode. I love that you came and spent some time with us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please take a moment to review us on iTunes. It really does help the podcast get found and, of course, provides us feedback that we need to make the show better. You can also follow us on Instagram at Be Unapologetically You Radio, or you can follow Kelsey at Kelsey Lane Fitness. We would love to see you tag us and share us on Instagram or Facebook of you listening to the podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to this podcast. And remember, don't forget to be unapologetically you. We'll catch you in the next episode.